This week's parsha is Parshas Kisavoy, and we are going to focus our shir on chapter 27, verse number 1. The pasuk says, "Vayitzav Moshe v'zikne Yisrael es ha'om le'imor," and Moshe Rabbeinu and the elders of Israel commanded the whole nation, saying, "Shomoyr es kol ha'mitzvah," safeguard, observe all the mitzvah, "asher noichi mitzvah es chemayim," that I am commanding you today. The Ramban notes that in this parsha is written Zikne Yisrael, that the elders of Israel. And the Ramban is bothered, why did Moshe Rabbeinu call the elders of Israel? The Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu called the Zakenim, that the Zakenim should command also that the Jewish people should keep all the mitzvahs that are written in the Torah. And according to the Ramban, when it's written, Shamoires kol mitzvah asher anoichi metzave eschem hayom, safeguard all the mitzvahs that I command you today, it is referring to the mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke until here, that the Zakenim should also tell the Jewish people to maintain those mitzvahs. The Ramban then asks, if that is true, why is it written asher anoichi metzave eschem hayom, that I command you today? It should have been written that we command you, because it's Moshe Rabbeinu and the Zikne Israel and the elders of Israel speaking. The Ramban explains that we find a lot of places that it's written in the singular, but the main topic is what Moshe Rabbeinu spoke. It's not what the elders spoke. The main topic is what Moshe Rabbeinu himself spoke. And the Ramban's proof is from what's written later on in the Parsha, in verse number 9, it's written by Daber Moshe and the Kohanim Alevim, and the Kohanim, the Levites, spoke, and they said, Haskes, be attentive, Ushma Israel, and listen Israel. There it's also written in the singular, but nonetheless, we say that all of them spoke, so to hear, the elders spoke, and what they spoke is referring to the mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded until now, that they should keep those mitzvahs. And according to the Ramban also, the reason it's written kol ha-mitzvah, all the mitzvah in the singular, is that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted you to know that any part of the mitzvahs that you keep is equivalent to the other parts of the mitzvah. Kol ha-mitzvah, the whole Torah, is equivalent to one big mitzvah. You can't pick and choose which mitzvah you are going to take, because everything is considered as one single mitzvah. Devin Ezra disagrees with the idea of kol ha-mitzvah referring to the mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke until now, and Devin Ezra explains that kol ha-mitzvah, that all the mitzvah, is referring to the mitzvah of putting up the stones that is written further in the parsha. Further in the parsha we have the ideas that the Jewish people have to take these huge stones and write on them the Sefer Torah. According to Devin Ezra, the idea of kol ha-mitzvah, that all the mitzvah, is referring to that mitzvah that the Parsha is going to mention soon, not referring to the mitzvahs that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke until now. And therefore, according to Devin Ezra, these elders of Israel were taken because they are going to be the ones responsible that the Jewish people follow through with what Moshe Rabbeinu is commanding them now. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu took the elders of Israel with him and commanded them in regards to the mitzvah of putting up the big stones when they come into Eretz Yisrael, in the Jordan, in the Gilgal, and in Har Eval, Mount Eval, because that will be at a time where Moshe Rabbeinu already had passed away. Therefore, he called the elders to make sure that they know that Moshe Rabbeinu is commanding them, and they are going to be responsible for that commandment. And according to the Devin Ezra, when it says kol ha-mitzvah, is referring to the mitzvah of putting up the stones, and he adds that the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu called the elders of Israel could be that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that this mitzvah is going to be done by the elders of Israel. Therefore, he wanted that the Jewish people should get used to listening to the elders, and therefore he called them at this juncture the elders of Israel. The Shach also holds like Devin Ezra, but he adds that it could be that he called the elders because, since the verse number 11 says that in that day Moshe Rabbeinu told who is going to be on the blessings and who is going to be on the curses, that maybe there is going to be somebody from the tribe of Reuven, which one is going to get the curse, Arur Shoichev im Eshes Aviv, cursed be the person that lays with his father's wife, then Reuven may be embarrassed by saying that he did it only for them, meaning he put this special curse on them. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu got together the elders of Israel, which included in the elders of Israel is a person from Reuven, and if he himself is saying this curse, meaning the elders of Israel, a person from Reuven, is saying this curse, obviously it's not meant as a personal curse against Reuven, it's meant as a general curse for somebody who lays with his father's wife. Going back to the Parsha, the Pasuk says, V'hoyo it will be, b'yoim tavru es ha-yardein, the day that you'll cross over the Jordan, ela ores to the land, asher Hashem lekecho noisen lach, that Hashem your God gives you, v'akemoisu lecho, and you should erect, you should stand up, avonim gedoilois, huge stones, v'sadata oisam basid, and you should coat them with plaster. The Pasuk continues, v'kosavto aleim es kol divrei ha-Torah azois, you should write on them all the words of this Torah, and we'll soon explain what was actually written on these stones. Bovecho, when you are crossing over, why? Lemana shetovo yelo oretz, in order that you may come to the land, asher Hashem Elokecho noisen lecho, that Hashem your God gives you, eretz zavas cholav udvash, a land of flowing milk and honey, kasher diber Hashem Elokei avasecho loch, as Hashem, the God of your forefathers, told you. The truth is that if you follow the chronology of the Torah, it becomes very hard to understand what is going on. But the Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Hei Omed Beis 35b, explains what is going on, and Rashi here also explains somewhat what is going on. The Gemara there says that there were three sets of stones. One set of stone was erected by Moshe Rabbeinu in the other side of the Jordan, and the Gemara learns that because it's written in the beginning of Dvarim, chapter 1, verse number 5, that in the other side of the Jordan, Moshe Rabbeinu started Be'er, clarifying the Torah, and in our Parsha it's written on verse number 8, Bechosavto alavanim, you should write on the stones, as kol divrei ha-Torah azois, all the words of this Torah, Be'er heitiv, well clarified. So therefore the Gemara says that when it's written that Moshe Rabbeinu started translating, it means that Moshe Rabbeinu started writing on the stones. So Moshe Rabbeinu erected 12 stones in the other side of the Jordan. Then we were required to write the Torah on 12 stones while we were still at the Jordan. Because as we just read the verse, it's written, Vekosavto aleim es kol divrei ha-Torah azois, you should write on them all these words of the Torah, be'avrecha, while you are going over the Jordan. So we see that we had to write the Torah while we were going over the Jordan, and we erected 12 stones there. And then we took another set of 12 stones from the Jordan, and the verse says that we should erect those stones in Mount Eval. So there were three sets of stones. As a matter of fact, the stones that we erected in Mount Eval, first we took them to the Gilgal, and in the Gilgal we erected them, and then we took them to Mount Eval. That means, according to Rashi, according to the Gurari, according to the Maharal, how he explains it, and according to the Gemara, the stones were actually erected four times, but there were only three sets of stones. One set of stone was done by Moshe Rabbeinu, the other set of stone were erected by the Jewish people in the Jordan itself, and then the third set of stones we took from the Jordan when we temporarily erected it in the Gilgal, and then we took it and permanently erected it in Har Eval, in Mount Eval. It's also interesting to know that the order, what we wrote on the stone, is different than what is written in the Pasuk. The Pasuk first says that I should plaster it with plaster, meaning cover the stones with plaster, and afterwards it's written we should write the Torah, but the Gemara writes down the name of Rav Yehuda that we actually wrote the Torah directly on the stones and then we covered it with plaster,
And Rav Yehuda learns that from what's written in verse number 8, because there it says, "V'chosafto al ha'avonim," you should write on the stones and not on the plaster. Therefore, Rav Yehuda learns that we first wrote on the stones and then we covered it with plaster. And before we start to analyze what was written on those stones and explain the different opinions exactly how they wrote it, we are going to bring what is written in Rashi on verse number 8, where there the verse says that you should write on the stones all the words of the Torah, Be'er Heitiv, very well translated. Rashi writes down, B'shivim Loshen, in 70 languages, and actually this is the words of the Beraisa in Soita Daf Lamedvav Omet Aleph 36a, where the Gemara writes down that the Kosvalem, as called Divrei HaTorah, they wrote all the words of the Torah B'shivim Lashon in 70 languages, Shenemar, because it's written Be'er Heitev, very well translated. And well translated means in all the languages of the world. As a side note, the Gurari Maral explains that we know that it means to translate it in 70 languages because the numerical value of the word Heitev, well, is 70, meaning the Torah writes down that we should be'er heitev, we should translate it well, and if you take the letter heitev, hey yud, tet, vet, and you do the gematria in an interesting way where you count each letter plus the next one, meaning the heitev starts with a hey, therefore it's 5, then it's hey and yud it's 15 because the hey is 5 and the yud is 10, that's 15 plus the original 5 is 20. Then we add hey, yud, tet, which is hey is 5, yud is 10, that's 15, and tet is 9, that's 24. 24 and 20, that's 44. And then we have hey, tev, which is hey is 5, yud is 10, that's 15, the tet is 9, that's 24, and the vav is 2, that's 26. So 44 and 26 ends up being exactly 70. Therefore, according to this interpretation of the Maral, like the same way that nowadays they write Nachman Meuman, and we add up those letters of the word Heitev, which is Hey, plus the Hey and the Yud, plus the Hey, Yud and Tet, plus the Hey, Yud, Tet, Vet, ends up being exactly 70 languages. That is when you translate it well, and therefore I know that it was translate in 70 languages. Now we are going to analyze what really was written on the stones and what was the purpose of the stones. We'll first start with the Ramban. The Ramban believes that in the stones were written the whole Torah from the beginning of Bereshis until the end of Le'ene Kol Yisrael, meaning the whole Torah from A to Z, from beginning to end. And the Ramban continues and says that the Torah was written together with all its crowns, all the tagim and all the zions that go on top of the letters, meaning certain letters get 3 crowns, certain letters get some crowns, and those crowns were also written on the stones. And the Ramban says that we have to say then that the stones were very big, or maybe it was a miracle. And then he explains that the purpose of the stones is, according to the Ibn Ezra, means that if you make this first mitzvah of writing the stone, that will trigger your merits, and automatically you will have merits to go into Eretz Yisrael, meaning that we want to go in with our right foot. Therefore Hashem gave us already a mitzvah to write the Torah, even while we are still crossing the Jordan, in order for us to have merits to go into Eretz Yisrael. And that is the opinion, says the Ramban, of the Ibn Ezra. But the Ramban says that according to his opinion, is that you have to know what is the purpose of you going into Eretz Yisrael. That the only purpose that you are merited to go into Eretz Yisrael is because you are keeping the Torah. That Hashem is giving you the land because you are keeping the Torah. Or, he explains, that it could be that by writing the whole Torah down, then you remember that you have to conquer the land and send away all the nations that are dwelling there now. meaning the purpose of writing the Torah is like a review for you before you go into the land, so you know that you have to conquer the land, and you can't let the people stay there. You have to follow what is written in Parshas Shoftim, in Parshas Kiseitzer, that you have to kick out all the people of the land. The Sifse Tzaddik explains that the symbolism of you writing down the Sefer Torah right when you're crossing over the Jordan on the stones is based on the idea in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Omed Beis 30b, where there the Gemara says, Tonot Ve Rabbi Shmuel, the Academy of Rabbi Shmuel says, Im Pogaboch Manuvel Ze, if this manuvel, this evil inclination approached you, then Moshcheyu Le Beis HaMedrash, then you should pull him to the Beis HaMedrash and go learn Torah. Im Evenhu Nimuach, if he's a stone, he melts. Im Barzelu, if he's like iron, mispoitzetz, he breaks apart. Meaning, because it's written in Yecheskel chapter 11, verse number 19, which we are prophesizing there for the time of Moshiach, Venosati Lohem Lev Echot, I will give you one heart, Veruach Hadosha Etem Bekirbechem, and I will put a new spirit inside you, Vasiroisi Lev Hoeven Mibisorum, and I remove the heart of stone from your flesh, Venosati Lohem Lev Basor, and I will give you a heart of flesh, which means that Hashem is going to remove the evil inclination, which is signified as Lev Oeven, as the heart of stone. Therefore, the Sifse Tzaddik says that Hashem told us to write the Sefer Torah on a stone to signify that if we learn Torah, then that stone is invalidated and you are able to remove that stone. The idea to write the Sefer Torah on stone is in a way to counteract the stone, which signifies the evil inclination, is to write the Sefer Torah, to learn the Sefer Torah, like that will automatically be annulled. Your evil inclination will be annulled. They ask a question, according to the Ramban, that the Ramban holds that the whole Torah was written from Bereshis until Leine Kol Yisrael, together with all its tagim, with all its crowns on top. That means it was exactly written in the way that's written in the Sefer Torah. Then they ask a question, how is it possible that they covered it up with seed? They put plaster on top of the writing, when we know the Gemara writes down, Imasachtas Gitten, Daf Yutes, Omed Aleph, 19a, Amavir Dioy Agabe Sikra, that anybody who puts Dioy, black paint, on the red paint, Vechen Lehepech, or the opposite way, meaning if somebody puts red paint over black paint, B'Shabbos Chayev B'Shim Koisev, he is guilty for writing, B'Shim Moichek, and because he was erasing. Meaning, when you write the letters on top of the other letters, you are erasing the old letters, and you writing the new letters. Then Meforshim asks a question, how is it possible that we covered up the Torah after we wrote the names of Hashem and the whole Torah? We are technically guilty of erasing the name of Hashem by covering it with plaster. It is no worse than us covering up the red ink over the black ink, or the black ink over the red ink, which is considered erasing. Then how can we do that when we are technically erasing the name of Hashem? And the simple answer, you could say that if Hashem tells you, I want you to do this, then we are required to do this, in the same way that Hashem tells us in the mitzvah of Sota that we have to take the parchment written in the name of Hashem and dissolve it in water. So too, Hashem may tell us here that I want you to write the Sefer Torah and I want you to cover it with plaster. And there is no question about erasing the name of Hashem, because if Hashem wants you to do this, then Hashem tells you to do this and you do it without asking any questions. But Meforshim nonetheless asks a question, how could we have done this when it's technically considered erasing the name of Hashem? As a matter of fact, the Rab Kiveger in Shaul Tshuvas in Chelik Bey Simen Tezvav brings from Sefer Livyas Chen in our Parsha, where Sefer Livyas Chen is investigating what happened if somebody puts wax over the Sefer Torah, meaning the letters of the Torah are written properly, and a portion of the Torah is covered with wax, with candle wax, where you can't read it now, but underneath it is clearly the letters of the Torah. Is it considered a kosher Sefer Torah, or is it considered not a kosher Sefer Torah? Clearly, when you read the Torah, you're reading from a portion where you could read. And if it's covered with wax, you cannot read. But the question is it still a kosher Torah because the words are perfect under the wax? Or since you can't read it, then it's not considered a kosher Sefer Torah? And he wants to bring proof from our Parsha, because in our Parsha, we see that we wrote on the stones the Torah and we covered it with plaster. And it's still considered as we wrote the words of Torah. It's not considered as the words of Torah and invalid, because under the plaster, the words are complete. But in truth, I wanted to say that you can bring proof from our Parsha, because in our Parsha, we have a very special circumstance. Because the Gemara in Soita, Daf Lamed Hei Omed Beis, that we mentioned, and we mentioned previously the opinion of Rav Yehuda, which Rav Yehuda says that we wrote the Sefer Torah on the stones directly, and afterwards we covered it with plaster, not in the order that's written in the Torah. Rav Shimon asks a question to Rav Yehuda, Lidvorecho, according to you, meaning according to your opinion, that the words were covered with plaster, that means you can see the words. How did the nations of the world at that time learn Torah? Meaning the whole purpose to write in 70 languages is that the nations of the world should also have a chance to learn the Torah. But if you covered it with plaster, how can they learn Torah? Omar Loi, Rav Yehuda answers to Rav Shimon, Bino Yaseire Nosam Bohem HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem gave an extra wisdom to the Goyim, V'shigru Noitirim Shelohem, and they sent their scholars, V'kilfu Esasit, and they were able to peel off the plaster, V'siu, and they took the copy of the Sefer Torah with them to their lands, Val Dovar Zeh, and because they did that, Nishatem Gzardinam Liver Shachas. It was decreed that the nation of the world should go to the pit, meaning to go to Gehenna. Why? Because Shohayo Lohem Lilmoit, because they had a chance to learn, and they decided they are not going to learn Torah. Meaning, Rav Yehuda explains that true that they covered it with plaster, but Hashem gave special wisdom to the nations of the world that they know how to peel off this plaster, and once they peel off the plaster, they actually made a copy of the Torah and they took it to their land. Then we see clearly, according to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that it was written and then it was plastered, that you know why you could plaster it afterwards, because Hashem gave Bino Yeseira extra wisdom for that generation, that they'll be able to peel off the plaster without harming the writing underneath it. Therefore, the writing is considered a complete writing, because you know how to remove the temporary cover of the plaster. It's tantamount of you putting a paroiches on top of the writing, putting a piece of cloth on top of the Sefer Torah, as we always do, which is not considered erasing the name of Hashem, because you could easily remove it. So too, Hashem gave wisdom in the nations of the world that they could easily remove the plaster, and they'll be able to read what's written underneath it, and the plaster won't harm the writing underneath it. But maybe when you put wax on top of the words of the Sefer Torah, maybe since we don't have this Bino Yesera, this extra wisdom to remove the wax without harming the leather of the Sefer Torah, maybe in this case the Sefer Torah is not considered a kosher Sefer Torah, and we can't bring proof from what is written in our Parsha. But Rabbi Akiveger in Shalos Tshuvos goes against the Liv Yaschen, because Rabbi Akiveger brings the Maharsha in the Gemara, where the Maharsha has the opinion that when I say that the Torah was written in 70 languages, it means there are 70 languages besides Lashon Kodesh, besides the Hebrew language. Meaning there are 70 languages of the nations, and besides that, there is the Hebrew language. Then Rabbi Akiveger says that there was no problem of writing the Torah translated on the stones and then putting the plaster on it, because since they were not written in Hebrew, they were written in other languages, then you did not transgress the prohibition of erasing Hashem's name, meaning that it could be when you put plaster over the Hebrew words, over the words of Hashem, that is considered you're erasing the name of Hashem, and could be that this is illegal, and therefore there is no proof for the Livias Chen in the case of wax falling on the Sefer Torah, that the Sefer Torah is kosher, because I could say that it is not kosher. And what they did when they crossed over the Jordan is that they wrote it in 70 languages, but not in Hebrew. And that way, when you put the plaster over it, then it is still kosher. Clearly, Rabbi Kiveger doesn't go according to the Ramban, because the Ramban says that we actually wrote the Torah from Bereishis until the Einei Kol Yisrael, but Tagoyseo, with all the Tagim and all the little Zions that go on top, all the little lions on top, and he says that from that we actually were able to take Bimei Ezra. In the days of Ezra, we used these stones as the blueprint to know exactly how to write the Tagim and the Zions on top of the words, then clearly it was written in Lashon Kodesh. And by the way, this statement of Rabbi Kiveger, if the stones were written with Hebrew language or not, meaning if Hebrew is part of the 70 languages and therefore it was written in Hebrew, or it is not part of the 70 languages and they did not write in Hebrew those stones, this is exactly what the Ponim Yafes says in this week's Parsha, is the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon in the Beraisa that we mentioned in Sota. Meaning, the Ponim Yafes says that Rav Yehuda held that you write it in 70 languages besides Hebrew. That means that you could cover it with plaster after you wrote down the words on the stone, because since it's not written in Hebrew, then there is no prohibition of Mechikas Hashem, of erasing Hashem's name by putting the plaster over it. But Rav Shimon holds that the 70 languages includes Hebrew, and they definitely wrote it in Hebrew also, then you cannot cover it with plaster. Therefore, Rav Shimon learns that you first cover it with plaster and then you wrote the Sefer Torah on top of them. Some Mefarshim want to bring proof that 70 languages is besides Hebrew from what is written in the Gemara in Soita Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis 36b, where there the Gemara is discussing the verse in Tehillim chapter 81 verse number 6, where the verse says Edus bi Yosef Sama, he appointed as a testimony for Yosef Betzesoi Alerz Mitzrayim, when Yosef went out over the land of Egypt, Sfas Loyodati, a language which I did not know, Eshmo, I understood. And there the word Yosef is written with a technical typo, because normally the word Yosef is written Yud Vav Samach Face of It, but on the verse in Tehillim, Yosef is written Yud Hei Vav Samach and Face of It. The Hei is added, and the Gemara is going to proceed to explain why it is added. The Gemara explains that when Yosef came in front of Paroi and Paroi wanted to make Yosef a king, the stargazers, astrologers of Paroi said that a servant whose master bought him for only 20 silver coins, you are going to make a ruler over us, meaning they complained that Yosef was a slave. How does he deserve to become a king? So Paroi answered them that I discern him royal characteristics such as wisdom, strength and beauty. So the astrologer says, if that is true, then let him know the 70 languages. So the Gemara says that Bo Gavriel came, Velimdoi Shivim Loshen, and taught him 70 languages. The Gemara says, Loi Haveko Gomar. Nonetheless, Yosef did not understand it. What did Gavriel do? Hoisiv Loi Ois Achas Mishmoy Shlakodesh Baruch Hu. He added one letter from the name of Hashem, Velimait, and then he was able to learn. That's why it's written, Edus B. Hoisev has a Yud K instead of Yosef Yud Vav Samach Fei. It's written Yud Hei Vav Samach Fei, because Gavriel added one letter in the name of Hashem. Like that, Yosef was able to learn the languages. And then the Gemara says, Ulemachor, in the next day, Kol Lishna, the Ishtara Parabadei, any languages that Paroi asked, Ahadarlei, Yosef was able to answer him. Since the Gemara says that Gavriel tried to teach him the 70 languages and Yosef did not understand, obviously it must be 70 languages besides Lashon Kodesh. Because if it is included Lashon Kodesh, Yosef spoke Lashon Kodesh, that is the language that he spoke at home, then it should have been only 69 languages that Gavriel tried to teach him and not 70 languages. In truth, this proof is not such a strong proof, because since we know that Yosef also spoke Aramaic and he also spoke Egyptian, because that is the language of Potiphar, and according to Mefarshim, Aramaic is the language that they spoke in Eretz Yisrael at that time, then clearly Gavriel doesn't need to teach him 70 languages, even if you don't count Hebrew in that, because Egyptian Yosef already knows, since he was the manager for Potiphar and he was able to communicate with the Sar Hamashke, with the baker and the wine steward. So clearly he spoke some languages that he could communicate with them. Then clearly Gavriel doesn't need to teach him 70 languages. He needs to teach him maybe 68 or 69. Once we say that the 70 languages is not exact, meaning it taught them all the languages, then we could say that it's already included in the 70 languages also Hebrew. And the number 70 is not exact, because clearly he knew other languages that wasn't required to be taught, and yet the Gemara says that Gavriel taught him 70 languages, then we must say that the number 70 is just representative of all the languages. Then we could also say that the number 70 is representative of all the languages, including Hebrew. Other Mefarshim want to bring a proof for the idea of the 70 languages from the sacrifices in Parshas Pinchas, where there on chapter 29 on Sukkos, we bring different sacrifices. We first bring 13 bulls on the first day, then the second day we bring 12 bulls, and then the third day we bring 11 bulls, and the fourth day we bring 10 bulls, and the fifth day we bring 9 bulls, and the sixth day we bring 8 bulls, and the seventh day we bring 7 bulls, and we add all these bulls, ends up being 70 bulls. And Rashi brings down there that we brought the bulls, Keneged Shivim Umois, representing the 70 nations, Umismatim Vaholchim, and therefore we diminish them every day, Simen Keliya Ulahem, to give a sign that they should diminish, meaning that we bring 13 and then go down to 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, because we want the nations of the world to be diminished, but it's a total of 70. And then on Shmini Atzeres, we bring the one for the Jewish people. That means there's 70 nations, and besides that, there is the one for the Jewish people, which the Jewish people are a nation in itself. So it's a total of 71 nations, but when we're saying that it translates in 70 nations, that is not including Hebrew, not including the language of the Jewish people. And the proof the other way is the Medrash HaGadol in Bereshis, chapter 25, verse number 23, where the prophecy to Rivka was, Shnei Leumim, two nations are going to come for your stomach. The Medrash says, Omar lo, that the prophecy said, Ayin umos chaserim shneim, there is 70 nations missing two, Nivru bo'olam, were created already in the world, Ve'achshov, and now, Yotzes mimcho shtaim, it'll come out of you two nations, Shemashlimo, is that they will complete Le'ayin umois, to the 70 nations, meaning that since Rivka was pregnant with twins, Esav and Yaakov, Esav and Yaakov are going to complete the 70 nations. Then we see clearly that Yaakov completes the 70 nations. Then according to this Midrash, part of the 70 nations is the Jewish people, meaning there's a total of 70 nations and not 71 nations. But nonetheless, even if I hold that there was 70 languages besides Lashon Kodesh, and they wrote only in other languages and not in Hebrew, we still have a very strong question. Because the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Lamed Dalet 334 Sifkaten Yud Zayin writes down the name of the Shilta Giboirim, that even when you write the name of Hashem in other languages, still we are not allowed to erase them. Then what's the difference if the name of Hashem was written in Hebrew or written in other languages? We still would not be able to erase the name of Hashem. To answer this question, we have to come to different ideas of how the Jewish people wrote the Torah on those stones. According to Charles Tshuva's Me'il Tzedakah, he says that it wasn't written on the stones the way we write normally, that it was actually engraved on the stones, meaning that we engraved the whole Torah on those stones. And according to that, even if you put plaster on top of the stones, then there is still not a problem, because you are able to remove the plaster and the engraving is still going to be there. The Moshe of Zakenim writes down that the way that the Jewish people wrote on the stones is that they used the shamir. Shamir was a worm that even when you wrote the letters, it cracked on top of the letters, meaning that it caused the letters to come out by cracking it, but not by actually breaking the stone. As a matter of fact, the shamir was used also at the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol on those precious stones, where you had to have a complete stone, and yet in the stones were written the names of the tribes. Then they used the shamir to write those names, and Moshe Zakenim says that they used the shamir to write the Torah on the stones, and therefore even if you covered with plaster, those letters are still there, and therefore there was no problem of erasing the name of Hashem, because those letters are still there. Reb Chaim Paltiel gives a different answer, and it's an interesting answer, and he says that what's written here, Vesalto Oisam Basid, you should plaster it. With plaster, it doesn't mean plaster the whole Torah, it means that we should write the Torah with plaster, meaning we took stones and we wrote the words of Torah with plaster. And according to him, there is no problem of erasing the name of Hashem, because we never covered it up, we just wrote the Torah with plaster, and that plaster could be read, and therefore we have no argument of what happened. Sefer Shara Haran asks a strong question regarding what the Shulchan Aruch Or HaChaim Siman Tov Kof Pei 580 says, that we fast on the 10th of Tevez, because on the 8th of Tevez, Talmai, the king, forced the Jewish people to translate the Torah in Greek. The Gemara is in Megillah, Daf Tes Omed Alef 9a, where the Gemara there says that Talmai, the king, took 72 elders and he put them in 72 rooms and he told each person to translate the Torah in Greek. And he brings down that because they translated in Greek, the world was dark for 3 days. Therefore, we fast on the 10th of Tevez to remember the darkness that was caused when the Torah was translated in Greek. Then Sefer Shaarei Aharon asks, if Moshe Rabbeinu himself wrote the Torah in 70 languages, obviously Greek is one of the languages, then why was it such darkness in the world when the Jewish people translated the Torah in Greek, when that translation was already available previously? There was no darkness when Moshe Rabbeinu translated the Torah in Greek. Then why was it a darkness now when Talmai HaMelech asks the Jewish people to translate the Torah in Greek? Sefer Shaarei Aharon answers that the reason the world became dark in the time of Talmai HaMelech, when the Torah was translated in Greek, is because in order that Talmai HaMelech not become upset, the Jewish people had to translate the Torah in the wrong way. Meaning, the Gemara there says that Hashem gave prophecy in the heart of all 72 elders that they should all make the same change in the Torah. Meaning, for example, the beginning of the Torah says Bereishis Boro Elohim, in the beginning Hashem created, and they changed it to Elohim Boro Bereishis. Then when Hashem creates man, it's written Nase Odom, let us make man, in the plural, and they change and said Ese Odom, I will make man, because they knew that Talmai will ask too many questions, and therefore they changed what is written in the Torah. And the Gemara there lists other changes that they made in order that Talmei HaMelech not become upset. Even though the elders made the changes because they were prophetically inspired, but nonetheless that is not the real translation of the Torah, and because they were forced to give a wrong translation of the Torah, therefore it became dark for 3 days. But when the Jewish people wrote the translation of the Torah on those stones, clearly the Jewish people wrote it the proper way, and therefore there was no darkness, and it was the right thing to do. The Yaros Dvash gives a different answer, and his answer is based on the Gemara in Yumer, Daf Nun Beis Omed Aleph 52a. There the Gemara says, Isi Ben Yuda Oimer, Isi Ben Yuda says, Chomesh Mikrois Ein Loem Hechra, that there is 5 verses that we do not know how to really structure the verse, meaning there are certain words that could go to the beginning of the sentence, or this word is the beginning of the next sentence. For example, it's written in Devarim chapter 31 verse 16, Vayoymer Hashem el Moshe, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Hincha shoychev mavosecha, you are going to lay if your forefathers, meaning you are going to die, Vekam and rise, Aham azeh, this nation, Vezono acharei Elohei necher oretz, and will commit idolatry. Meaning, we could translate the word Vekam in 2 ways. We could translate the word Vekam, that you are going to lay if your forefathers Vekam, and then you will get up, and that will be a proof that there is Tchias Amesim, resurrection of the dead, in the Torah, because it means that you're going to lay and come, and get up. And then could be Vekam Omazeh, and this nation will get up and do idolatry. So the word Vekam could be read together with the beginning of the sentence, or could be the first word on the next sentence. So we don't know how to translate this pasuk exactly. Therefore, says the Yaros Dvash, when the Jewish people wrote the Torah on the stones, they knew which way this verse goes, and they could translate in the proper way. But the people at Talmei HaMelech, they didn't know exactly how these words will go. It could be that it will go to the beginning of the pasuk, or could be that's the beginning of the next sentence. But when they translate, they have to make a decision. Therefore, since they had to make a decision, they may have made an improper decision, and therefore it was darkness in the world. The Jewish people, when they wrote the translation of the Torah, they wrote it the proper way. They were able to decide if the word goes to the beginning of the sentence or it follows the end of the sentence. And afterwards, we didn't know anymore how to really translate the pasuk, if the word goes to the beginning or the end. But the elders, when they were forced to translate for Talmei HaMelech, they had no choice. They had to pick one way. Since they may have picked the wrong way, it became dark for the world for 3 days. The Chiddush Orim explains that the reason why we were required to write the Torah in 70 languages is because Hashem knew that we are going to be exiled, and Hashem wanted that no matter where you are and what language you speak, you should still be connected to the Torah. And Hashem Yisburach should help that we should continue to be connected to the Torah, then we'll merit to have Moshiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yameinu, Amen.